Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 3. Listen for God's word. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with the power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Our second lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 11th chapter. Let us listen again for God's word. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us into the time of trial.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to feed him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Am I the only one, or does anyone else feel like your head is spinning lately? Every day, almost every hour, there's more news and information to digest, new restrictions to adjust to, more changes to our schedules and our lives. As soon as I think we've reached a new normal and can start living into a new routine again, something else changes, and we have to switch gears and adjust all over again. I've lost count of the number of times lately that I've said to myself, "Stop the world. I want to get off." Thank God, and I really do mean that I'm thankful to God, that we can gather for worship this morning at our usual time and follow our regular order of worship. Yes, some things have changed. We've had to rethink some of how we do worship. And of course, the biggest change of all is that you all are not here physically present with us. Although we miss you very much, we are glad that you are staying home and hopefully safe and healthy. But we're gathering for worship anyway, because that's what we do as people of faith. As we've been reminded throughout this Lenten season, worship is the heartbeat of our life and faith together. Over the past several weeks, we have been taking a closer look at our worship service and why we do the things that we do. We started with the opening of the service when we gather together as God's children and lift up our praises to the one who is the source of our lives and our life together. Then we moved on to the prayer of confession. This is when we take some time to repent Remember, that means to turn our lives around, to turn our focus back on God, to clear out all of the clutter and to confess all of the things and the ways that get in the way of us living as the people that God created and calls us to be. These first two sections of the service, praise and repent, they prepare us then to hear God speak to us, to listen for God's life-giving word as the scriptures are read and the gospel is proclaimed. Today is a turning point in our worship service. Everything we have done up to this point is in preparation for listening to God's word. Everything we do after this point is a response to that word. How do we respond to God's goodness, God's grace, God's good news for us and our world? Sometimes we do what we will do today. We will affirm our faith together. We almost always sing, and then we pray. Today we are focusing on prayer, the what and the why and the how of prayer. Our Presbyterian Study Catechism does a nice job of explaining some of the what and the why, and we've encouraged those questions and their answers elsewhere in our liturgy today. But I could also boil it down to one simple statement. Prayer is when we seek God's presence, purpose, and power for our lives and for our world. So I'd like to focus now a bit on the how of prayer. And the two scripture lessons that we heard today give us great examples of prayer and how to do it. Our first lesson was from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And I love that Paul stops right in the middle of this letter that he is writing to a church community to offer a prayer for them. Notice that he does not pray for more members or more money. He doesn't pray for them to agree with everything he says or to follow his agenda for them. Paul's prayer is much bigger than that. Paul prays that they would be strengthened in their inner being by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul prays that Christ would dwell in their hearts and that they would be rooted and grounded in love. Paul prays that the Ephesians would really know, not just intellectually in their minds, but deep down in their guts, in their hearts and their spirits, that they would truly know just how much God loves them. Paul prays that they would trust in the God that can do abundantly far more than anything we could ask or imagine, so that their lives and their life together would glorify God now and far into the future. Paul uses beautiful, lofty, spiritual language. But we can all pray for these things, for God's abiding presence, for Christ's loving purpose, for the Spirit's faith-building power, not just for ourselves, but for everyone, and for every family in heaven and on earth. In our second lesson, the disciples also ask Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." After all, Jesus was a master prayer. He prayed all the time. Sometimes he went off by himself to pray. Other times he did it with his disciples or with other people who were gathered around him. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he took some of his disciples with him to pray. The disciples reckoned that given his authoritative teaching, his miraculous abilities, and his regular prayer life, Jesus must be about as close to God as anyone can get. "Lord, teach us to pray." Jesus responded to their request with the words of the most famous prayer of all, what we call the Lord's Prayer. "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" Sound familiar? Well, sort of. There are a few bits missing, right? Like, "Our Father who art in heaven, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and deliver us from evil." Those bits are in Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer, not Luke's. And what about, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." That doxology was added on a bit later. Alan Culpepper makes this comment about Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer. Stripped of the familiar language of the traditional form of the prayer, the Lucan prayer focuses the reader's attention on its simplicity and directness. No fancy title to address God, just Father, Abba, like a child saying, "Daddy, listen to me." And then five petitions that you could count on your hand. Father, hallowed be your name. God, you are our heavenly parent, and holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Bring your vision for the world, God, your reign of love and justice and peace. Bring it down to earth right now, please. Give us each day our daily bread. We need to eat. Give us enough to eat today. Not for the rest of the week, not for the month, not for the year, or even the rest of our lives. Please, God, just give us enough for today. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others. And you'll notice this can be a hard one. I can't even get my finger to stay up very well. Forgive us for all the ways that we have wronged you, O God, just as we are actively working to forgive others who have wronged us. And finally, do not bring us into the time of trial. We are more used to saying, "Lead us not into temptation," but that's just another way of translating the Greek. Ultimately, the prayer is about protection from trouble. As Culpepper notes, this final petition is a climactic one that underscores our relationship to God as a Father to whom we can appeal for protection from any circumstances that might threaten our lives or our relationship with God. That's it. Those are the words that Jesus gave to his disciples. This is the basic outline of Jesus' prayer. God, our heavenly parent, you are holy. Please make this world your own. Give us what we need for each day. May our lives flow in forgiveness in all directions. And protect us from danger and trouble and anything that keeps us from living life abundantly with you, each other, and this world you love. Jesus doesn't spend any more time on the how, on the words themselves, because he wants to get to the more important part, the actual praying. As one preacher said, the Lord's Prayer was never intended to be a creed or a catechism, repeated exactly the same way by all Christians at every stage of their lives. The Lord's Prayer is only a template, a blueprint, showing us how we can gain access to the power and love and grace God offers to us every day. Essentially, Jesus says, all we have to do is ask. The words themselves are not as important as you actually doing it, praying, knocking on God's door, seeking God's presence, purpose, and power. This is why Jesus moves on pretty quickly to the good news that God answers our prayers. This is the point of both the stories that Jesus tells, the one about the sleepy neighbor and the questions about parents giving their children fish or snakes, eggs or scorpions, which sounds like a very strange diet. Even the sleepy neighbor will eventually get up and help his friend, as the rules of hospitality demanded in that time. Even imperfect parents know how to give their children good food to eat when they are hungry. Imagine how much more eager and able God is to give us what we need when we come to God in prayer, when we ask and seek and knock. God is so eager to talk with us and to be in relationship with us that God will even give us the Holy Spirit to dwell in us each and every day, to empower us and to help us grow, to supply our need every step of the way. Does this mean that in prayer, God is offering us a blank check to ask for any and everything we think we want or need? Of course not. Our requests need to line up with God's will and ways, with God's plans and the priorities of God's kingdom. As one pastor said, prayer does not give us what we want, but prayer helps us want what we need. You see, prayer is not designed to change or persuade God. Prayer is designed by God to change us. Prayer is a spiritual discipline through which we are formed into disciples of Jesus Christ. And so we keep asking and seeking and knocking, praying for our daily bread, for forgiveness, for protection and deliverance. We keep praying for God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We keep praying, trusting that God hears us and God will answer our prayers in God's love and wisdom, in God's purpose and time. It doesn't matter if we use the same words as Paul or the words that Jesus gave us or come up with our own. The point is to pray. As one pastor told his congregation, throw anything up there, stumble, use bad grammar, have long embarrassing pauses, split your infinitives, even dangle your participles. It doesn't matter. Just groan or sigh if that's all you can do. Because God's hearing your prayer does not depend on your eloquence, but on God's grace, which is already at work in your life. As Alan Culpepper writes, Jesus' teachings assure us that prayer is effective not because of our cajoling or because we have found the right words, but because of God's nature as a father who loves his own and wants to give to those in need. Where we bring our need to God's love in faith, that is prayer. Where we bring our need to God's love in faith, that is prayer. Last summer, I had the privilege of going with 13 of our youth and 4 other adults to the Presbyterian Youth Triennium, which was an action-packed gathering of about 4,000 Presbyterian youth from all over the country and even the world. One of my favorite things about Triennium was the Heartbeat Center for Prayer. In the Heartbeat, 20 different prayer stations were set up so that we could try out all kinds of unique ways to experience prayer using art and music, movement, and all of our senses. You could walk a large labyrinth, you could create a prayer journal, meditate on a scripture verse, or listen to music. You could write a prayer of encouragement to a missionary or a soldier. You could fold an origami prayer dove or taste God's goodness in a prayer cookie. You could pray while doing yoga stretches or raking sand in a meditation garden. You could make a prayer keychain or fitness band that would help remind you to pray throughout the day. No matter what you chose, however, all of the prayer stations were designed to calm our minds and center our hearts so that we could be more aware and open to God's presence, purpose, and power in our midst. As the sign on the door said, prayer is the pulse of God's heartbeat for us. There is no one right way to pray. Rather, prayer is an opportunity for us to both check our pulse and to listen to God's heartbeat for us. As I reflected back on my experience at the Heartbeat Prayer Center at Triennium, an image came into my mind. A picture of one of our children as a tiny baby curled up asleep on Chip's chest, her little head resting right over his heart, lulled to sleep by the steady beat and the knowledge that she was safe in his arms. And I remembered how when our kids were fussy as babies, sometimes all it took to calm them down was to hold them close to my heart so they could hear my heartbeat. I think that's what prayer is: seeking God's presence, laying our heads on God's chest, and listening for God's heartbeat, bringing our own heartbeat into God's holy rhythm, so that we may breathe deeply of God's Holy Spirit and know God's great love and gracious care, God's purpose and power already at work within us and within the world around us. So don't worry about the words. Just do it. Ask, seek, knock. Let us pray. Amen.